The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I think my wife might be on the same salad pizza.
I'm over it.
Okay.
But you guys didn't hear what I said yesterday. You don't like my salad with pizza? Well, you know it doesn't go together.
What are you doing? What? Did you just double dip that shit?
Grilled cheese and tomato soup.
What?
Okay. It's tuna fish and tomato soup because of the dipping into the soup of the tuna.
Excuse me? You double dipped the chip.
Double dipped? What are you talking about?
You dipped the chip, you took a bite, and you dipped again.
You don't dip grilled cheese into tomato soup.
Yeah, you do.
No,
this is crazy.
I'm not listening to you.
But I was just about to come to your defense.
Okay,
like putting your whole mouth right in the dip.
Well, I'm sorry, Timmy, but I don't dip that way.
Oh, you don't, huh?
No. You dip the way you want to dip. I'll dip the way I want to dip.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
For those curious, even with a little bit of a late push, still the poll did not surpass the most lopsided in the history of ESPN Milwaukee. Which sandwich goes better with tomato soup, grilled cheese, or tuna? 95.3% saying grilled cheese.
We've officially pushed the goalpost for Chewy as far as humanly possible.
Yes.
If it wasn't the worst, most lopsided pull in history, that's a dub.
And again, the crazy part about this is it all started because I brought it up. It was part of, you know, he was talking about his pizza and his salad thing when I wasn't here, and it was part of the open yesterday. And I was about to come to his defense. Like, I was just about to tell him that, hey, I think my wife kind of agrees with you because we had gotten some pizza in the brief time that I was home last weekend from transfer. And I was coming home from Madison, so I just swung down to pick it up from Walker's Point where transfer is. And sure enough, they came with, you know, a couple of small pizzas, and on top of it, Caesar salad.
They have a great Caesar there, by the way, at transfer. That's also the pickle pizza. Love that pickle pizza.
Oh,
they
got pickle pizza.
I can't do
so
that.
Good. Fresh dill on there.
Woo! Yeah, but Gabe, I jumped you because defense wins championships. Okay? That's why. You always go to the defense.
Just right away on the defensive. Yeah. Speaking of the defense, we buying into this? Because they're pushing hard, man. They're pushing hard that the defense and their pass rush, it's for real, and it's not a training camp mirage. And I just don't know when we're going to know if this thing is for real. Because I'm going to be honest, because of the way things have played out. And I don't want to make it seem I'm not excited for this defense, because I am. But I have to be cautiously optimistic. Based on the way the last three really preseasons have played out. And I'm not even talking about the games. I'm just talking about the hype coming from the players, coming from pundits, coming from everywhere. Like, I feel we've cried wolf too many times here for me to just fully dive in, even though everybody is coming out of camp yesterday trying to convince me that, oh, yeah, this pass rush is for real. This pass rush is going to be great. And I hope it is. But I also kind of have to see it in actual games to count. Because if they go out, Chew, on Saturday against Cleveland, and they have a bunch of sacks, great. But also it's a preseason game, and I can't necessarily buy in. Right?
Yes. So if their philosophy is going to be stop the run on the way to the quarterback. Look, it all started, and you got to go way back. This philosophy started with the University of Miami back in the 80s, early 90s, when they were good. Mm-hmm. You know why they could do it?
Because
they had linebackers like Antonio Pierce, Michael Barrow, who I played against those guys. You might not know those names, but in college football, they were legit. That's how you... I don't know if they have the linebackers to do it. Because when you try to do that, I mean, don't we? We know what Preston Smith is, right? Yeah. We know what he is.
He's a solid player, too.
Solid. He is nothing more than solid.
Yeah, which, again, you can't have
Rashawn Gary
at every position.
You know, last year we gave him the ACL excuse, right?
Sure.
We gave him the ACL excuse. Mm-hmm. He never played the run well when he was in a 3-4 anyways. So I will be interested to see how he plays. Van Ness, he's like Musgrave. I haven't heard a lot about him. To me, it doesn't sound like he's going to start, correct?
Correct, because that's going to be Preston Smith starting on the other side of the line.
Look, Halfley's aggressive, and this is what aggressive guys do. But I am more concerned about the run with that style of defense because I don't know if they have the linebackers that can do this. And I played against a 4-3 predominantly throughout my career. And I can tell you this, and I said it a million times, it's much easier to block defenders in a 4-3 than it is a 3-4.
While we've seen the Packers defense get eaten alive by the run game, I think there's fewer and fewer teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers and the San Francisco 49ers who are disciplined enough to stay in that. So while not having a run game is going to be an issue, like not having a good run defense is going to be an issue, I think it's going to pop up less and less, like as we've seen. I just think teams, they like to pass the ball. It's the analytically more efficient way to do it. And unless you run into those teams that are dedicated to it,
guess what the problem is, Josh?
We got to face the 49ers in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the best team in the end. I mean, and look, maybe they're imploding in front of our eyes.
Kind of looks like it.
Maybe they actually trade Brandon Ayuk. I'm still skeptical that they do that. That
pretty
they kind of blow it up.
But here's what you're susceptible to if you're going to play that style.
Pretty Ricky said that last week.
He's a little
off now. He doesn't get credit.
He's jumping the gun.
He doesn't get credit.
You're susceptible to traps, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to trap a guy that's going balls to the wall, rushing the passer when it's a run, and you're susceptible to boots because those guys are easy to go out the back door because they're rushing so hard. Well, when I played them, there wasn't a defense in the league that played that style. It was all, you rush the quarterback, but you still have to be cautious about the run.
Guess who's going to run some boots?
Minnesota.
Minnesota, because, I mean, you think about Minnesota runs a very similar offense to what the Packers do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have those stretch plays, misdirection, that you turn into boots, you know, where the quarterback is rolling out. That's been a staple of the McVay, Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, whatever offense you want to call it. That's been a staple. That's what they run up in Minnesota. Guess who's probably going to run a boot or two? Chicago.
I'd say if Chicago isn't.
What's that?
I said, if they're not doing that with the way Caleb functions outside the pocket,
yes.
It's a mistake.
Yes, it's a big mistake. So I'm assuming, I'm operating that they're not completely, you know, devoid of football brains down in Chicago.
Still got to prove it.
But here's, and I watch
it's
hard.
A very fair point.
I watched Hard Knocks last night. We'll get to that later in the show. But I have a hard time believing that it was all Joe Barry holding these guys back. Devontae Wyatt. Was holding back all these players, mm-hmm. and now this new scheme, they're finally going to be able to play. I have a hard time grasping
that. And I know this is the extreme end of this, right? Because at the end, I would say that Mike McCarthy's scheme held the Green Bay Packers back. Because they just didn't have the talent that they did in 2010 and 2011, and maybe the league had figured it out a little bit more. You know who still stood out? Aaron Rodgers. Like, even if you have bad coaching...
Yeah.
If you have really good players, those guys are going to stand out and you're going to notice them, which is why I have been skeptical. Yeah. I know Jen and I have gone back and forth on this, on Quay Walker. Yeah, he is a physical freak. He is a really good athlete. He can run really fast. Outside of the pick six last year, week one, he really didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And that's where, I mean, okay, Joe Barry, I think everybody agrees, terrible defensive coordinator.
Yes.
Did he hold everyone back? Like,
yeah.
No one player could showcase themselves. And that's when you become too scheme dependent. Like, that's not good either.
No.
Can the scheme make some of these guys better? Absolutely. Sure. But if you're a stud, I mean, you know, Chew.
Football's football.
If you're a stud in the league, it doesn't matter what the scheme is. You're going to stand out.
Yeah, you're going to stand out. But what was I going to say? It was a pretty good thing I was going to say.
I'll give you credit for anyways.
Chewy was right.
What the hell was I going to say?
We're going to pretend he said
it. Had to deal with the defense, but
defense, linebackers, safeties, cornerbacks.
No, I think it was more of like
blitzing
drink,
scheme.
I'm not going to drink
cover
the
three.
I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid. And we're not going to see it because Saturday night, they're not going to show anything. They're not going to show anything because it's kind of like the offense was last year when you prepare when teams are trying to defend that week. 1 through 6, we don't know what they're going to do. We don't know what Jordan Love's strengths are. We don't know what his weaknesses are. They're going to do the same thing defensively. They're going to surprise teams early in the year with like, I didn't see that coming. You know?
Is Cleveland playing their starters?
No.
None of them?
As far as I know, no. I have to double check that, but I don't think they're playing it. I mean, they're aged.
They're veterans. A little bit older. Yeah. They're a little bit older of a team. So, again, that makes sense for them. You have to do whatever's best for you.
Right.
But that, again, just puts a little caution flag up there of, hey, if Rashawn Gary has 2 sacks in the 2 series that he plays, he's also not going up against Cleveland Browns starting offensive line.
Okay, maybe they are playing good and having a good training camp. But you're going up a left tackle who is at best, middle of a pack in the league.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Right
I mean,
now for
I don't
Rashawn
think.
Gary. Actually, me for Gary.
Walker. Jeez.
With Rashid Walker.
I don't think he's putting the fear of God in Myles Garrett if this was a regular season game.
No. I mean, he's
and
held
you have
his own
Zach
at different
Tom,
times.
Who's coming off of a serious injury.
Yeah.
And he's been limited.
And then guess what? The weak part of the line's been.
Yeah.
Center and right guard.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, because again, you feel good about Jenkins, but.
Yeah.
When you're talking about potentially replacing Josh Myers already, when he's got 1 year left on his deal and you're having an open competition at right guard with your first round pick and Sean Ryan.
Which spells they really have to stay healthy. That scares me.
On the offensive line.
Yes. Right? No, they have to stay healthy.
Yeah. I don't feel as good about the offensive line depth as I did last year.
I don't know where I'm at with Morgan.
He's the starter at right guard after he returns from a shoulder injury.
Yeah. So he was out yesterday, so Sean Ryan stepped in at right guard.
Yeah.
The problem is they're pretty thin. Where last year you felt pretty good with Yosh Nyman as the swing tackle that could kind of move things around. After Jordan Morgan, and like Sean Ryan can't play tackle, Jordan Morgan can, presumably. But
in a pinch.
Yeah. After
Jenkins
that,
Jenkins probably could.
Swings out, yes, most likely. The problem is, if they have to go into the reserves, there's probably going to be 2 or 3 guys moving spots, which then can get hairy.
Wait, but that's part of the reason why the Packers love drafting guys like Jordan Morgan, where they feel he's going to be versatile, they can move him around. But then, yeah.
The continuity doesn't remain
no,
there.
The continuity is
The thing that be. I'm most, like, I think... There's a few players that are going to emerge in the 4-3. I think that's going to be different. The style is going to matter. Like TJ Slayton has been a giant revelation for the Packers, and he was just kind of a nose tackle. He was good, better than most of us recognize, because who pays attention to nose tackles, really, when you're watching a defense? And I think McKinney and those 2 young safeties are going to... Like, Evan Williams is having an interception every single... And it's not against Sean Clifford.
Yeah,
it's against Jordan Love.
Had one against Jordan Love yesterday and did it on Family Night as well.
I think there's going to be that the guys that we all expect to see more from, we're going to kind of see a few will drop out. Maybe Quay, maybe Devontae Wyatt, because he's a second stringer right now. Like, I think there's enough to be excited about here where we can't fully dismiss it like we had gotten in the habit of.
No, I am cautiously optimistic.
Yes.
Right? Like, I like the things I'm hearing out of camp, but I just can't dive. You know, I'm not just now sprinting and just yelling cannonball jumping in, right? I just can't after the last 3 years.
I'm not cannonballing. I'm pencil diving in, though.
It's just, it's like
China style, or like you figured out the new way so it doesn't really splash.
I'm jumping in, but I'm not going full cowabunga, dude.
No, because the problem is this. If they don't play well against the run, what do you do? If you're not playing well against the run, what do you do?
Put more linebackers on the
field. Bring more McKinney up. You bring McKinney up into the box, and then where are you susceptible? Deep. With a safety we have no idea about. Play action pass. You're playing against a good tight end, and there's three good tight ends in this division that they're playing against.
Well, here's the other thing.
You got Hockenson, you got Laporta, and you got Komet.
Yeah.
And watching Hard Knocks last night, Chicago's pretty good play action-wise. Just from what I saw.
Yeah.
And they ran a lot of it.
Despite the story that came out on ESPN.com yesterday, kind of showing how the Eagles are a little bit of a dumpster fire, I wish we weren't playing the Eagles in week one. Because that's going to be, it'd be nice just to kind of ease in against the team. Because that's going to be a team that should be able to do everything offensively pretty good. Oh, by the way, they've got a really good running quarterback as well. Because they picked up Saquon. They've got good receivers on the outside.
Yeah.
Like, every part of this defense is going to get tested immediately. There's no easing your way into this season.
No.
You know, it'd be nice if they had opened with the Titans, right?
Yes.
It'd be great. You can ease your way in. But that defense is going to be tested right away, and there's just no way to know if they're going to have the answers because of what the preseason
actually is. Fair to say the feeling you're getting out of training camp is the offense is struggling a little bit right now?
So I think that's a good question for Jason. And Jason Wilde is going to be joining us next, because I also want to ask about that. I want to ask about the kicking competition, because it looks like they're bringing in another kicker. So many things to dive into this morning as Jason Wilde is going to join us next. But first, change the way you do business. Take more control of the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for you and your business. The people over at Fifth Third Bank, always friendly, love hanging out with them when I get the opportunity, and they're always going to help you and your business out. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. Joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason, and welcome to a Dude Thursday.
What's up, dudes? How you doing?
Hi, buddy.
What the heck was that?
That was Elf.
That was the
That's Mr.
Narwhal?
Norwell.
Yeah.
Yes. Hope you find.
Wait a minute.
Dad. Hope you find your dad.
What a timely reference.
I love Joshy.
Just
Jason is the offense behind.
Yes. I mean, they're being outplayed. I don't know if that makes them behind or just not as good at this point as the defense. But yeah, I mean, they got him again yesterday, right? I mean, Evan Williams has the interception against Watson at the end of practice. Quay Walker tips a pass, and Xavier McKinney picks it off. Again, you know, you obviously played this game a long time, and no one generally dominates the entirety of a practice. So the offense has its wins, but the defense has had far more wins, which, you know, this is why I asked LaFleur, and he kind of, you know, punted on the question, which I understand. But after family night, when I said, you know, you're the head coach, you're not just the coach of the offense, you're the head coach of the entire football team, so how do you view tonight and the fact that, you know, obviously the defense got the far better of your offense. And that's when he went into the whole, well, we're just doing vanilla stuff like that. Clearly didn't want to answer that. And so I don't know when they're going to level out and both be as good as you want them to be. I don't think anyone should be panicking over this. But at the same time, you know, it depends on your perspective. Are you glass half full or glass half empty? Glass half full would be, well, their defense wasn't very aggressive and wasn't all that good and certainly wasn't in any way inspiring confidence under the previous defensive coordinator. And the way they're playing in training camp so far, you should feel a lot differently about that if you're a Packers fan. Or are you thinking this offense is supposed to be so star-spangled awesome and it's not really for much of training camp so far? It depends on your perspective, I guess.
Do you chalk a lot of that up, Jason, to Jordan Love? How long was Joe Barry here? 4 years?
Three years?
Three.
Do you chalk a lot of that up to, all right, Jordan Love pretty much knew what their own defense was going to do the past 3 years. Now, because you don't game plan for practice, you're looking at a whole different kind of deal here.
Yeah, great point. I mean, Love has talked extensively about this defense and how good they are at disguising things and, you know, safety shifting around. And I don't think that there was a lot of disguising going on in the last system. So last year during training camp, I think he was able to, you know, not have to worry about that. And you know, he had the one interception a few days ago that McKinney had, and somebody asked him, you know, when did you see McKinney? And he said, after I threw the ball. So that's the kind of stuff that, you know, that you're hoping, if you're a Packers fan, that there's a bunch of other quarterbacks throughout the league, starting with Jalen Hurts on September 6th, saying the same thing. Hey, when did you see Javon Bullard on that interception, Jalen, after I threw it?
I love like honesty. You know,
yeah.
I love it.
I do, too. It's a really good answer.
Yeah.
Jason, how should I feel about the defense as a Packers fan? Because I feel like the best I can do right now is cautiously optimistic. Because over the last three, even if you want to go back 4 years before Joe Barry was here and Aaron Rodgers declared that they had a defense back in 2019 after they beat the Bears, I feel like early in the season and preseason, the hype has been through the roof. There's been too much crying of wolf. So I can't fully buy in, even though the defense is saying, hey, this is for real. Our pass rush that we're putting together, it's for real. How should I feel, and when am I going to actually know if the Packers have a defense?
Yeah, I'm not here to tell you how to feel. Your emotions are your emotions. But I think your reasoning behind cautiously optimistic is exactly the way that you should be. It is. I totally agree with you, because you don't want this to be fool's gold. I mean, look, I don't think the enthusiasm was ever as high for a Joe Barry defense among the players as it is right now for the Halfley defense. I mean, the defensive backs love him because he's a former DBs coach and he really gets them. The guys up front love him because he's unleashing them. I mean, again, in practice yesterday, like, the Love was under pressure a lot. And is that a function of how good these guys are and how effective the scheme is? Or is that a function of they're still figuring things out on the offensive line? And, you know, Zach Thomas just started being in 11-on-11. I mean, these are all fair questions, but if I'm telling you how to handle this, I'm saying allow yourself to get your hopes up a little bit, but I understand why you're tempering your enthusiasm based on, you know, the scars you have from other defenses that were advertised as changing things for this team.
Well, speaking of scars of you know, thinking about other players, Jason, Christian Watson and the injury scare he had yesterday. I've got multiple questions around that. First of all, it kind of seems like a situation where obviously not that serious. It ends up being, I believe, a horrific bruise was the way it was described. kind of seems like the play last year where he fell on his back and the Packers listed him as questionable with like a back, knee, hamstring, head. Like they listed just basically every body part. So he's he's okay, right? He's so no reason to be concerned about his health after the little bit of a scare he had yesterday.
Yeah, he's he said he expects to practice today and he expects to play on Saturday. But you know, I totally get what you're saying. And I was having this conversation with a couple of other colleagues yesterday. Like it's always kind of hold your breath with him, right? Like even on family night, there's that throw down the seam and he collides with Evan Williams, who he also collided with yesterday, and he's slow to get up and he's holding his side as he jogs to the sideline and you're thinking, oh my God, did he break a rib? And then he's back in there a little bit later. Yesterday, you know, he comes off, give him the two thumbs up and everything's fine. So I guess I would ask Chewy, like, I don't know if I remember a guy that was like that during his era where the guy was always slow to get up and you're thinking he's dead and then two plays later he's back in the game. But like, if you remember Za'Darius Smith, I swear he did the same thing. Like, he wasn't the same physical body type as Christian Watson is. But like I feel like there were multiple times in 19 and 20 when, you know, he was actually playing because he still had guaranteed money in his contract, where he would be slow to get up or stay down and the training staff would come out. And then like three plays later, he's back on the field. So I don't know what that is. I'd be curious how Chewy views it because, you know, I think a lot of other guys have the opposite mentality of no matter how much it hurts, I'm going to get up. I don't want anybody thinking that, you know, I'm injured. And I think in Christian's case, he was in a lot of pain yesterday, but he said basically, I don't know if it was, I got spiked with Evan Williams' shoe or if we banged knees or whatever it was, but you know, you would have thought that, I mean, there were guys taking a knee around him.
Yeah.
and then it turns out that he's just got a bruise.
Well, the difference is, Jason, we could bully back in the day and you can't do that anymore because we'd let him hear about it in the locker room. I mean, it's the truth. We'd be like, get up, right, you potato, for crying out loud.
But potato is definitely the word you would have used there. Yeah,
absolutely. Jason, on a scale of 1 to 10, with two positions I want to ask you about, what is the level of concern at the kicker position and the center position?
I think Josh Myers has been okay. I think that's kind of my general response about him usually. Now, his father passed away, so he's missed some practices. And I think we all can relate to whatever it may be, something non-job related, you know, maybe affecting our focus a little bit with our job. So I haven't seen him be especially problematic. Again, the way that TJ Slayton and Kenny Clark and Carl Brooks are getting upfield, it has been a siege for that offensive line, and they are definitely struggling and not playing well enough. But I don't see like major, and again, I'm not an offensive line expert like Bulaga and Tausch, but I don't see like major reason for concern. Now, the other question, you don't bring a third kicker in if you think the other two guys are just fine. And so the fact that Alex Hale, who's a fantastic story, I mean, yesterday, you know, these are the stories I love to tell, even if the guy's going to be here for 2 weeks, right? I mean, I had never heard of wake skating, which apparently is like surfing on a skateboard, and I never heard of that. I've never heard of a guy coming from Australia and being dropped off at John Carney's kicking academy in San Diego, and his parents saying to Carney, he likes to kick. Here he is.
And the guy ends up, you know, being a kicker at, in the major college level at Oklahoma State. And now he's in camp. You know, he had his first NFL tryout, and now he's in an NFL camp. So is he good enough? I mean, in fairness to him, the one miss he did have yesterday was on a high snap. So maybe they have this, you know, incredible out-of-nowhere guy, kind of like their punter last year, like Daniel Whelan. Nobody had heard of him before, and he goes out and he beats a guy who punted in the year, in the league for 10 years. But the bottom line is, you don't sign a third kicker after you just got rid of the third kicker if you think the two kickers that have been the constant in the competition are good enough that you're not worried about not having someone who's good enough. So I think you are justified, and it just reminds me again of how fortunate this organization has been, not only at the quarterback position, but at the kicking position. I mean, you know, I don't know how you felt about Chris Jackie, but dude was pretty darn reliable. Mm-hmm. And then Ryan Longwell, after the failed Brett Conway experiment, becomes the all-time leading scorer. And then Mason Crosby, after 1 year of Dave Rayner, takes over, and then he kicks for 16 years. Like, for as impressive as their quarterback run has been, their kicker run has not been too shabby either. Mm-hmm. Until Dave Rayner, great guy. I think he's a realtor now. But once they drafted Mason Crosby, he had no chance. And I will commend the Packers on this. I thought, and I've told you guys this, that at the start of the offseason, that this competition was just token competition. So they could say they challenged their draft pick to win the job, air quotes. It ain't that. Like, Anders is in a fight. There is in no way this is just for show, so then he can be the opening day kicker. Now, he still might be the opening day kicker, and if Joseph isn't better and none of these other guys that have been paraded through aren't better, then he's going to be the kicker, perhaps by default. But as of right now, they are actively searching for a kicker.
Is Carlson losing right now?
I think he's got a slight deficit, but you know, there was a time, it was just a few days ago, where like I think he was five makes behind. Mm-hmm. And Joseph was in a groove. Like he was like 29 of 31, I think it was, and he made like 20 in a row. Mm-hmm. But now he's had a little bit of a hiccup. So again, I would also say that they've got obviously how much Bisaccia is connected to the family and whatever else. I think you can't ignore that, but it's definitely a challenge.
Jason, appreciate the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wildy joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tune into the NASA Show each and every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. The NASA Sedetacumbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversation. Maybe it's his live show with his brother Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find the NASA Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to Thanalysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. Thanalysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ryan and McGuadigo weighing in. Hey, if you find something that sucks for 25 years, you hold on to that.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
Because usually the sucking only happens before you get married, and then the sucking just stops.
We're going to get fired.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wildy about the kicking competition. And I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page. Because when we talk about a wide receiver one and who's your guy, like we don't actually care who wins the kicking competition, right? Like, we don't have a guy Like you, I don't think there's a section of the Packers fan base that is rooting for Carlson to win this, right? Like nobody's like, oh, I'm Team Anders, and there's a Team Greg Joseph. We don't give a rip who wins. We just care that they make kicks starting in that first Friday in September. That's the only thing we care about, right?
You know what it is? It's probably we don't give that position enough credit because it's just kind of like soft noise to us in the background, right?
Oh, I wonder where we'd get the impression not to give kickers a lot of credit. Where would we
blame
get that
me
from?
Again. Put it on the poll. No, but I'm
You're
saying
you're the one who
it's
tells
like,
me they're not real football players.
Well, they're not. And we kind of, Chris Jackie, who Jason brought up, wonderful kicker, a little strange, but.
Didn't you spend practice time building forts?
Yeah, which I was a little jealous. I mean, so, we were mad, but we were a little jealous. He made them out of the blocking dummies and stuff like. Some of them were pretty cool. But we just
as
want
you're sweating
them
through 2 days. He's building elaborate forts.
You're vomiting. We see that. Do we see that job is easy and you should make 10 out of 10 40-yard kicks? If you're kicking a 40-yard field goal, you should make all of them. Or is that asking too much?
90%?
How about extra points? You should never miss an extra point in a season.
Well, if you buy into the Packers selling of it, Mason Crosby was missing kicks not because he was missing, because the operation.
Yeah.
That was a big term that they used a long time.
And you know what? I drank the Kool-Aid there. I used to blame nothing but the kickers.
Yes.
Until Mason struggled, and they're like, oh, no, the operation's off. The operation. So now, like, I'm a big, oh, you know, somebody misses a kick. I'm like, oh, how was the operation?
How was the operation there?
What'd the snap and hold look like?
But players,
where were the laces?
Don't give a rip.
Okay.
You know, you think every ball hits me right here, Gabe? Every single ball Brett threw hit me right between the numbers, easy to catch.
Brett is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And every ball he threw is exactly where he wanted to throw
but
it.
But we always looked at it as, stop making excuses and kick the damn ball through the uprights, you know?
What makes the kicking different than, say, us having opinions on the wide receivers, who's your guy, is kicking's very one or zero. Did you make it or did you miss it?
Yeah.
The only guy we want is the guy who's going to be the one, make it the most. So at this point, we don't know who's the best. Like they're keeping stats, they're tracking it, and
you
both
know what
of
it
them
is, Joshy? You know what it is?
What?
Because right now, I think if you gave me 10 kicks from the 30, I'm making half of them.
Oh boy.
I'm making half. I can guarantee a kicker running down the middle of the field isn't going to catch a ball if he knows he's going to get lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, where would this hatred from kickers on this show come from? I just don't know.
You've poisoned the well.
Because a lot of them?
Yeah.
A lot of them. And I yelled at Jeff, the punter for the Arizona Cardinals, Jeff Fiegels.
Oh.
I snapped to him in the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
And I had a couple bad ones. He's like, hey, you got to put that. I'm like, shut the bleep up. I'll put it wherever I want, and you punt the damn thing, all
just
right?
Just catch it. Shut up.
You know how I get Johnny Snap Snap on the air? I was Johnny Snap Snap there.
Wait, in the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
Jeff Fiegels was like, hey, like, is anybody rushing? I mean, I guess it was a different era. Were people actually rushing the punter hard in the Pro Bowl in the 90s?
No.
Then who gives a rip, Jeff Fiegels?
And when you get in at 2 in the morning with a quarterback and have to bum your ride to the stadium because you might be a little hungover, don't expect it on the right hip, okay? And I don't want to hear about it.
Did the ball get back there?
You kind of got scared. It might have rolled, but it got scared. Yes.
Were you long snapping for the Packers at that time, or were you just the only long snapper there?
I long snapped in the Super Bowl, and the most nervous I got, we were up 13. What did we win by?
14. You won 35.
We won by 14,
because
and we were pinned back. We were pinned back, I want to say, on our 15, and we had to get it out of there because we knew they were coming. A little bit of pressure, and smoked it. Put it right on his hip because I was a much better snapper when I had to block out of it.
Okay.
When I didn't have to block out of it, I kind of got lazy and kind of short-armed it. And I'm like, Oh, okay. I remember one
imagine,
time.
Can you imagine if you went Rocket Man there and snapped it out of the back
no,
of the end zone?
No, I remember Holmgren pulled me, and Frank was the backup, and Frank didn't like long snapping at all. And we were playing in Cleveland, and Belichick was the head coach. This is, I think, one of the, I think it was the last game in Municipal Stadium before they went to Baltimore. And I rolled two back, and all I remember coming off the field, and Holmgren goes, "Get Bowling for Dollars out of there and put Frank in." Frank was so
bowling.
That's what he called
dollars.
Me. Bowling for Dollars. And I got the yank.
When did the long snapper as a specialist come about? Because
you know when it came about? The year after the Super Bowl. Rob Davis, who they signed as just a long snapper, mm-hmm. I think was one of the first ones where they specifically said that is now a spot on the roster.
So last year we found out that you basically invented a play that's still used in the NFL today.
Yes.
Because you ran the wrong route. Mm-hmm. And it ended up, Holmgren went, oh, that's kind of good. And it's now used in NFL playbooks yeah. all over the place because you ran the wrong route.
Yes.
Do you think because
Holmgren I was
didn't trust
for
you
bowling for dollars.
And called you bowling for yeah. dollars, that Holmgren and Ron Wolf decided, you know what, we need to dedicate a specific roster spot for somebody who can just long snap. Do you think we can give you credit for creating
I
jobs
think you can.
For 32 guys each and every year across the NFL?
I'm not going to lie. Because what would go through my mind, if I just do this bad enough, just barely bad enough where they have to replace me and I don't have to do it anymore, it's a good thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you
yeah.
originally volunteer for the job of long snapper?
Because no.
Oh, boy.
So listen to this. I just picked it up in college, screwing around. Right? Just screwing around my senior year.
Right. Everyone,
about right.
Just screwing around.
Every football player at practice attempts to long snap.
Yes. So the coaches saw it. And I was the backup, which was fine, you know, because I was still starting at the time. And our long snapper went down in West Virginia. West Virginia, beautiful stadium. They're always loud. They were very good back in the day. And they said, "You're in." And I'm like, I've never done this before in a game. And I'm like, holy cow. So I snapped it
hey,
back.
You were bad.
I snapped it back. And all of a sudden, you hear the crowd going absolutely berserk. And I'm like, oh, my God, I snapped it over his head. Well, what happened is I snapped it so fast, the punter wasn't used to it coming back so
that
fast.
Quick?
It went right through his hands. Yeah. Which kind of bit me in the ass because then you go to the combine.
And people want
you
to
don't run
snap.
A good score, but when I leave the combine, you really never want to hear wow, you're a really good long snapper when you're trying to make a team as a tight end.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, nah. Not a good look, Bob.
Bowling yeah. for dollars.
Bowling for dollars. That's what he called me.
I still love that Jeff Fiegel's... In the Pro Bowl, Jeff Fiegel's like, hey, man, you got to put it here.
Oh, I snapped at him. I think I scared him. Well, he's a punter. He should be scared.
Well, I mean, have you seen the size of you?
Yeah.
I know you're used to the size of you. I sit across from you every single day. We've been doing this to you and me for like almost 5 years. We've known each other for over a decade at this point. I'm still not used to the size of
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Because like when you sent the picture of you and
Axl
your wife
Rose.
As Axl Rose.
Yeah.
Like I cannot tell you the number of people I've showed that picture to. And hey, look at the size of Chewie's arms.
I know. You know, there was a show called Bowling for Dollars back in the day. That's why he called me that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ever hear of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like charitable bowling stuff. Yeah. I used to watch. So
the worst is when he'd say stuff like that and you laugh. He didn't know how to react because it was kind of funny.
Well,
I'm like,
again,
yeah, that's a good one.
If somebody pops you, like you respect.
It's like calling Josh a lumberjack.
I'm going to chop down some trees.
It's funny. Yeah. It's just the one thing this show does is appreciate a good pop.
Yeah.
You get a good pop off. We're gonna chuckle. We're going
to
yeah. laugh.
I think I'm willing to give Chewy credit on that. Like the fact that Brett Goode enjoyed a long NFL career. I believe he's probably vested.
Oh, because
yeah. he had such
oh,
a
yeah.
long NFL
sure.
career as the Packers long snapper. Like, that's a whole It's a whole job for a bunch of guys who had no business really being on a football field.
Well, look at Rob Davis. Rob Davis probably snapped for
almost 10 years.
And if he he's in a very good position in the NFL because of it.
Wait, he still works for the Packers, right?
No. He was with Dallas. He went to Dallas with McCarthy.
That's right.
And I think he's there.
Yeah. These guys are getting health insurance, and many of them probably had a handful of tackles their entire career.
So I should probably get a thank you at some point in my life from Rob Davis.
I think so. I think you should.
Yeah.
I think you should. You created that position because, like you said, you were just bad enough where the Packers decided they needed to have somebody else and maybe dedicate the job.
I think we need an effort for Rob Davis.
I think you should.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we can uh-huh. make that ask. Yeah. I bet Rob would be willing to come.
I can't imagine he's getting a lot of requests.
Just tell him, make sure, because again, anytime you reach out to somebody that Chewy knows, make sure you use Chewy's name.
Oh,
it's the only reason we got Holmgren on the show.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, Mark Chmura? Yeah. How's he doing?
I'm not above a name drop.
Yeah. No. Just to get Rob Davis on the show. Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for that ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. There's a reason I went there. I trust Dean and the team he has put together at the Jewelry Center, and my wife absolutely loved the ring that I got her for our engagement. Maybe you're somebody that just, I don't know a lot about rings. I just don't know maybe what she's looking for. Hey, go on her Pinterest page, bring some of those ideas into the Jewelry Center, and the helpful team that Dean has put together is always going to point you in the right direction, whether you're looking for naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds. The Jewelry Center has options for you. Check out their inventory at any one of the three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or online at shoptjc.com. Make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chewy sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy where you can recruit a little? No, I'm saying from the standpoint, it used to be. That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Which organization's a bigger joke? The IOC or the NCAA?
Yes.
Because look, I enjoy the product that the IOC puts out. I enjoy the product that the NCAA puts out. But as organizations, I mean, athletes, shockingly, getting E. coli after swimming in the river for the triathlon.
Oh, really? Yes. I didn't hear that.
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
No.
So, again, they spent, what did they spend to try to like clean out the Seine?
It was like a $1 billion.
So they're dumping poop in there.
Well, so, yeah, they tried to clean it out, and then they weren't sure if they're going to do the triathlon because, like, they were testing the waters, and it wasn't good. Then magically, like, the next, oh, it's actually safe to swim in here, and they did the triathlon. Now athletes are getting E. coli.
$1.5 billion was
to get rid of it?
To try to clean out the Seine, sign. I'm not even quite sure how to pronounce the river.
S-E-I-N-E.
Yeah.
They don't have lakes over there? I mean, you can still get it in a lake, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, especially for the triathlon, though, you need a length, and then you need to be able to run and bike, and you need to have the whole thing. Yeah. So they had it all plotted out, spent $1.5 billion to clean out the river. Didn't work. Athletes
the mayor
are now
jumped
getting
in to prove, this is fine.
Yeah.
Well, then you swim in it. Yeah.
Well, that's what the mayor was trying to do, but obviously wasn't great. So you've got athletes getting sick. And then on the other hand, you have the NCAA handing out meaningless suspensions to a coach who's now in the NFL.
Who's laughing.
In Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Where you have a show cause on Harbaugh and a year suspension if you hire him before 2028. Which is, he's got a 5-year contract with the Chargers.
Yeah. What doesn't make sense about that is like, so then I just wait till 2029 and I'm fine?
Mm-hmm. But that's correct. That's correct.
Say this, though. The only thing the NCAA did that was correct is not to punish the players by putting a ban on them.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's not fair. The players have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and this is nothing to do with the Connor Stallions and sign stealing. This was impermissible contact with two or three athletes that he had during a dead period in COVID-19.
Hold on, Joshy. What is going to be Harbaugh's first investigation in the NFL? Because there's going to be one. Drones? Is he going to talk to people in Canada? Using drones to spy? I mean, seriously.
And guys like that don't typically, so obsessed with winning in a way that like Bill Belichick is, they're going to try and find an edge and probably cross the line a little bit. I have found it fascinating that those issues, the buying a cheeseburger thing, remember how many times we heard that? All he did was buy the guy a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
No, he was actually just making contacts with recruits during a dead period when you weren't supposed to, and then lied about it over and over and over and over and over again. The Stallion stuff to me is also fascinating, where, I mean, they ruled that, yes, that was him on the Central Michigan sidelines. Yeah, no, duh, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, hold on. Yeah. I've got eyes. I can see that.
We all
yes.
saw him there. Yeah, yeah. What investigation went
Look,
into that?
I'm not saying that what Jim Harbaugh did wasn't wrong, right? What I'm saying is the punishment that was given to him is laughable.
Yeah, totally.
He's not in college football anymore. He's got a 5-year contract.
But what could you
if that
do
that contract
him?
Expires...
A lifetime ban?
If you want to come back, because again, the funny part is that it's a show cause for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
which yeah. is not even the length of his contract that he has with the Chargers.
Yeah.
So it's, hey, if you ever want to come back to college football, you have to serve a year suspension. Mm-hmm. Instead of if you're the University of Florida, let's say. I mean, and that's the other thing. I don't think Harbaugh's ever going back to college. When you win... The national championship as the head coach of your alma mater.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing to go back to college for. But now you just have to, okay, if he wants to go back to college at the end of his contract, he can. There's no, it's not a real punishment. That's the point.
Right. And the thing that sucks is you would think of the vacating wins as an option, but we all saw it happen. We all watched that championship happen. Those kids on the field weren't the ones stealing signs and all that.
Correct.
So like, You want to give a big punishment, but what is there really? What can you really do? Other than, like, take away recruit, like, scholarships. But then you're also hurting kids who had nothing else to do with it. Mm-hmm. Their team's going to be less good. And and Joe Blow, who just joined the team, what is he doing? What does it matter to him?
But yeah. Jim's always been nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I knew him when...
He yelled you during the Pro Bowl, too?
No, he's just... He's Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. He's from, like, Pluto or Uranus, you know?
He just wanted to say Uranus.
Which they said it's not a planet anymore?
No, it's a planet.
You better check that.
You know what? Ashton's the space guy. He'll fact check us if he really wants to. Executive producer Ashton Rodman. We'll get into that Christian Watson injury scare from yesterday. 2 minutes, Jen Gabichuy.